Tweet at TodaySOR.
Lots of you have been doing that, and also sending texts to 51551. And again, lots on hedges. It sounds like farmers need a lot of education about the great importance of the birds, animals and insects living in their lands. Keep up the education on Tashka, says that caller. And then another one, a Mullingar listener, why can't all road hedges be cut for safety reasons? Well, we dealt with that towards the end of the conversation. And again, on Greece, many people here might as well be in Greece, as long-running unemployment and low pay is causing them to sink without trace. Mr. Harris's recovery is a myth in rural Ireland. Only the Greeks are speaking up for us, and many across the Eurozone. That from Anne in County Kerry. And just another one on this. Every time you walk into Galway City Centre, you notice another shop closed. I can't figure out what corner we've turned and where the green shoots the government keeps talking about are growing. To me, the Syriza victory represents hope over fear. Now, the FA Cup provided the biggest shock of the weekend, certainly in England. Nobody saw Bradford coming, especially not Jose Mourinho, the Chelsea manager. More about that in a moment. In rugby, Leinster march on in the Champions Cup, but it was also a good weekend too for the other provinces, particularly Connacht and Munster as well, restoring some of their pride. And in GAA, all the pre-season cups found a home, at least in football. The real business of the league kicks off next weekend. With me now, sports writer with the Sunday Independent, Damien Lawler, and also Wexford Camogie great Mags Darcy. Good morning to you both. Damien, we'll start with rugby. It was a good weekend, as I say, for Leinster, drawing there, but was it enough? The only team, Irish team, into the last eight. Matt O'Connor seems to be a relatively happy man this morning, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but they made hard work of it, Sean. There's no doubt about that.
Off to the proverbial great start.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then I won't say they collapsed in the second half, but they completely almost stood aside and let Wasps at it. And Andy Good missed a kick, a drop goal attempt in the last moments to win that game. And, you know, any out half worked or sold, particularly a guy of his experience, should have nailed that. But it means now that Leinster have got a home draw against Bath in the quarter final on Good Friday. So it's worth a million to the province. And obviously there's a huge lobby to get the drink ban lifted, the alcohol ban for that day. So that could be a huge occasion for them. But I think the organisers of this new tournament, you know, they kind of have their way in a want in many ways, because it's French influence, English influence, and Leinster are the sole competitors here of an Irish representation in this competition. But they made hard work of it, Sean.
And it's what about their chances of having some of their big name absentees back for that?
Sean O'Brien, Keane Healy, I think will come into the reckoning. There's no doubt about that, and I think that'll be a huge shove on as well. I think the good thing for them is Ian Madigan had a rare off day, and yet they still came through. But I think Joe Schmidt will be happy enough, really, what he saw overall this weekend from an Irish perspective, because a number of the Munster players did quite well.
We'll come back on that one. But Mags, as somebody, like, it doesn't really matter the sport, but to let a lead of 20 points to 6 slip, how does that happen, a team? I suppose the other guys play well for a while.
I think they saw the land ahead of them, and they just, unfortunately, they lost some severe momentum within the second half. You know, in the first half, they dominated the set pieces they were making. The backs were making big yardage with ball in hand. As you said there, Sean, it was 26 leading in. And then really, a lack of composure, aimless kicking, I think, around the field. Madigan missed 4 penalties. It was just very uncharacteristic of Madigan in that sense as well. So it wasn't a nail-biting finish. It was good for the spectator. But not for a Leinster fan.
Damien, Munster again restoring some lost pride.
Yeah, like, there's two ways of looking at that. I mean, firstly, you know, there's still structural problems there. I think they need one or two big name players. But you saw yesterday there is the makings of another great team there, with people like Dunneen and O'Mahony and James Cronin doing quite well. Keith Earls and Zeebo were right back on form again yesterday. I think they scored 54 points without reply in the second half, but Sale were a shambles by the end of it, Sean. So you can't look too deeply into that. And I was just looking at the Munster supporters' reaction to the game yesterday evening, because I took quite a few positives from it, but they were saying, no, this is not papering over the cracks. You know, A, B and C are still needed. Yeah. So there's a lot of, introspection needed.
Despite the result, it is a failure of a season in the European Champions Cup for the supporters.
They've got to go for the Pro 12 now. I mean, they've got to go for it and try and restore.
They really
it
have
has
to
been a
juggler.
Failure. Yeah, it has. Because I think they only failed to qualify by 2 points at the very, very end. And had they got maybe more out of the Saracens game or beating Clermont at home, However, they're not good enough to win the competition this year. I think they need to learn lessons.
Connacht, meanwhile, I think Mag's proving again they're a second half team against La Rochelle.
Well, there you go. I was just saying earlier, is if we could put Munster's second half performance and Connacht's second half performance together, and then Leinster's first half performance of the weekend, God, we're going to have a great Six Nations.
You need a mathematical equation.
Yeah, exactly. It's a money ball game, you know.
They got two tries in the last 5 minutes, and it's a great win. But if they beat. I think they play Gloucester, and then the winners of Exeter and Newcastle, they can make the final there. It's a huge thing for them.
Yes, and they have a chance if they make the semi-final. It is, if they get to the semi-final, it's a home game.
Home game. Absolutely.
I think Connacht are due a bit of silverware at this stage. You know, yeah, Pat Lam has been, you know.
Will they start talking Pearce Stadium or the sports ground or what's the issue going to be there?
I think there'll be a will there from the GEA to open it up, and I think it'll be great for the West.
And again, some reprieve after what was a very disappointing campaign. A good win for Ulster over Leicester.
Yeah, it's bittersweet, really, the same as Munster. You know, and it's also been confirmed that Kingspan is actually going to be the venue for the Challenge Cup. Final, which is, I suppose, something to bring to the foe up in Ulster, but definitely a disappointing result from their half. It's funny, like, unbeaten weekend for all Irish provinces, but at the same time there is a bittersweet there.
Now, moving to association football, or soccer to you and me, Damien, there's a heading in the London Times today, and it's not about the FA Cup, but it might as well have been Dreamers Walk Tall in Land of Giants.
That's a great headline, and I think people have asked the question, you know, was it a weekend of the biggest shocks of all time? Perhaps collectively, I think you've got to go back to 1997, where 10 Premier League teams were knocked out of it, and by this stage of the competition, and that's where you're at now. Was Bradford beating Chelsea the biggest shock of all time? I'd say Hereford United beating Newcastle, and I think Sutton United back in the 70s and 60s were probably the greatest shocks. Sutton beat Coventry. However, I would say though that to beat Chelsea away from home, when you were 2-0 down, to come back and win 4-2 is a huge achievement. And by the way, it's a guy called Alan Sheehan playing for Bradford. He's first cousins of Robbie Henshaw from Connacht. And then there's another guy called Mark Yates who scored. He's from Talla in Dublin. So there's a large Irish contingent there. It's fantastic to see it. But again, can you look at this weekend with rose-tinted glasses? Is the magic of the FA Cup back now, or is it simply because the top teams are only paying lip service to it? Manchester City arrived back into the country 21 hours after a training camp.
That's correct. They got in at 7, their flight came in at 7 p.m. on a Friday evening. They were playing at 3 p.m. And obviously it was a sponsorship game over in Abu Dhabi as well, so that's something that they had to fulfil. But you think by being bet by Arsenal in the Premier League that you pull up your socks and you know, this would be a platform to hammer Middlesbrough in the FA Cup and to drive on for the rest of the season. But no, they had to take a trip abroad, so that wasn't really well thought out, I'd imagine.
No, it wasn't.
Losing 2-0, it can't be good. But I suppose, you know, there's some of the big names still in there. Villa, Arsenal, West Ham winning. Man United, I suppose. Well, they've got to go again.
They avoided the headlines because of Chelsea, really.
I'll tell you one thing. I was watching that game and I nearly fell asleep three or four occasions on the couch because Van Gaal, the balance of that team is all over the place. The structure is all over the place as well. But for a team like West Ham, who've not won silverware in 35 years or so, the FA Cup has to be a massive target for people like that. And I think it's, for Man United, it's the quickest way to getting a trophy this season.
And don't turn up your nose at it any more than Roscommon, I think, in GA terms.
I can't say I was massively surprised to see that come
through. FBD League.
Yeah, it's the first time since 1999 they've won anything. But myself and Mags were just having a chat before we came on air, and what you have here is you've got a good, passionate manager, and you've got the nucleus of a great young team coming through. Now, they scored 4 goals yesterday against Galway. One of the goals was the perfect team goal. And a nucleus of that side have been beaten twice by Dublin in 21 All-Ireland finals. So I think that they're a real good bet for a Connacht title this year. I think that all their planets are starting to align, and it was a fantastic win for them, even though it's only pre-season.
And given the fact that St. Bridget's aren't in the latter stage of the All-Ireland Club Championship this year as well, it also brought the freshness of Senan Kilbride up front.
And it's good to see Roscommon coming good, Mags, because not too long ago, like, I suppose 10 years ago, their team was disbanded for discipline reasons.
A bit of glory for Waterford as well, not in Gaelic football.
Absolutely. I don't know if you're on the Twitter there, Sean, but it's trending at Waterford for Sam at the moment.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
McGrath Cup.
The first bit of silverware in 34 years since they've won that. So, listen, it was huge, huge momentous day for Waterford there. Really a team display, 10 Waterford players on the score sheet in front of a mere 900 supporters there in Dungarvan.
But like, it's only their third ever trophy in the history of Waterford football, and you know, to beat a fairly star-packed UCC team managed by Billy Morgan, this result is just due measurement for a team that really puts it in, year out. And I mean, if they can get promotion from Division 4, it'll be a massive, massive achievement for Tom McGlinchey.
We spoke about this last time as well, Sean. I think it's a two-tier system whereby you have the, you know, the second-tier teams, as in Waterford, in the overall scheme of things. This is really their All-Ireland at this time of the year, you know.
Now, the Dubs won the O'Byrne Cup yesterday, so they've no chance of winning exams based on the records.
Yeah.
A joke.
No, but you're right. We spoke about this previously, and I tell you, maybe they're not as far ahead of the competitors that we thought they were. It was Kildare's first real test yesterday. The game went to extra time, which probably won't help either side as they face into the National League this time around. But it was Dublin's first title since 2008. What I took out of it was Dean Rock is going really, really well, and he could maybe carve a first team place championship this season.
And Tyrone, McKenna Cup. That looks like, I mean, Tyrone are always thereabouts in Ulster, aren't they? And even if they're not in Ulster, they're in the back door.
Yeah, I can see a good year for them ahead. He's rebuilding on the hoof again up there, and he's got three or four new players in, and he's tried some positional changes. And I'm actually going to their first league game now next weekend against Monaghan, and that'll be a cracker. But I think Tyrone will push very hard for Ulster this season.
He being Mickey Hart, of course.
Mickey Hart, of course.
We'll be talking about the real stuff now next weekend.
Yeah,
next
we can't forget the Leash Hurlers now, Sean.
Please remind us.
After beating my beloved Wexford down in Abbey Leaks, 4-18, 1-9, three goals by PJ Scully. And the chance apparently from the pitch was in Cheddar We Trust. So Plunkett Cheddar is the manager of the team, is after bringing them to their first, last final appearance was in 2001, so they're after bringing them to another semi-final spot.
Good news for underdogs all around. We'll leave it there. Mags Darcy and Damien Lawler, thank you for being with us. That's our Loftus today.